When you think of Peru, you probably think of the exotic, the ancient Inca civilization, the Amazon jungle, and the sounds of the pan flute. I'm Abby Rhodes, one of 10 University of Illinois journalism students who learned firsthand that Peru also has traffic congestion, pollution, and impoverished indigenous communities. Under the guidance of our journalism professor, Nancy Benson, we were foreign correspondents in training who spent 3 weeks in Peru reporting on topics we researched for a semester. During the next hour, we will examine and explain how colonial traditions, the result of more than three centuries of Spanish rule in Peru, are often in conflict with the country's first world aspirations. We collaborated with journalism students from Universidad Peruana de Ciencias Aplicadas in Lima to produce this special report entitled Assignment Peru. But first, this hour's news from National Public Radio. Peru, known to many as the land of the Incas, is representative of the Andean countries, with all the problems and promises of integrating a large indigenous population into the modern world. It's a country where more than half of the population suffers from malnutrition, and where children are often sent to work rather than to school. Peru is a microcosm of many of the problems and progress that other developing countries experience as they try to move from poverty to prosperity. I'm Abby Rhodes, one of the 10 University of Illinois journalism students who will take you into the streets of Peru during the next hour to report on the challenges this developing country faces. Because it takes money to improve a country, igniting the economy has become a priority. Peru relies heavily on the mining industry to fuel its economy, now among the fastest growing in Latin America. Adam Jadav reports from one mountain town high in the Andes, where the residents are learning about the economics of privatization and foreign investment.
This is the sound of globalization. American mining giant Doe Run operates this lead, copper, and zinc smelter here in the high Andean town of La Arroyo, Peru. Doe Run is the only major employer here, with a local workforce of more than 3,000. The company's vice president, Juan Carlos Wiwa, says without the plant, the town of La Arroyo would not exist.
Right now, the population is already in the order of 50,000 people already, so it's growing faster because of the local economy, no? Right here. In addition to that, is the workers are not only all of them from La Arroyo, are from the Central Highlands, so also this economy spreads. So there is a lot of dependency of La Arroyo.
But the 80-year-old smelter is leaving its mark on the town in the form of pollution. Critics blame the smelter, which has had three different owners, for all manner of ailments in the community. A neurologist in La Arroyo, Dr. Hugo Villa, says residents there suffer from asthma, chronic bronchitis, lung cancer, lead poisoning, and more.
Principally, the problems are respiratory problems, neurological problems, and developmental problems, the growth problems. According to a study done by the Ministry of Health for the region in general and for these problems in particular, 60% of the population is afflicted.
Doe Run says it's been working to improve the air, water, and soil quality, making improvements in the community and investments in the smelter approaching $180 million. But activists point to studies that indicate dangerous levels of lead in children and other public health problems. They claim Doe Run is committing economic blackmail. The situation is common throughout the developing world, but the Deputy Economic Counsel for the U.S. State Department in Lima, David Lippiatt, says poor countries need the resources that large companies can bring.
It's a tough situation because the companies act almost in lieu of the state. The state has limited, very limited resources, and this is nothing like the U.S. or a developed country where there's a strong state presence sort of uniformly across the country. In a lot of these places, like mine, is the only thing going, literally. And nobody else has any money, including the government.
Peru's economy today is strong. The gross domestic product grew 5.1% last year, while inflation remained at 3.7%. Unemployment, a key statistic in Peruvian politics, fell by 0.9 points to 8.8%. Peru exported $2.5 billion more than it imported last year, with the mining industry making up more than 50% of the country's export industry. Doe Run alone had sales of more than $560 million. Peruvian economist Daniel Cordova says the country needs this.
It's better to have an investment and that create jobs and create export for the country than to have nothing. Okay, the pie is growing. Maybe the distribution of the pie is more unequal right now, but the pie is growing. I prefer the pie growing than the pie decreasing.
Cordova says the economy has been in recovery for the better part of a decade. That's after almost 20 years in the 1970s and 80s that were marked by repeated nationalization of industry, hyperinflation, and a bloody insurgency led by the socialist guerrilla group Sendero Luminoso, the Shining Path.
So the 70s and 80s in Peru have been like a nightmare in this country. You know, economic nightmare from one side, social nightmare, as you have heard, I guess, about the Shining Path and all these problems in the 80s.
Cordova and other economists say the recovery has been pushed forward by liberal economic policies. Past President Alberto Fujimori and current leader Alejandro Toledo emphasize privatizing industry and loosening business restrictions. Doe Run bought the La Arroya smelter from the state when Fujimori privatized the plant in 1997. The smelter, with its towering smokestack and sprawling complex, sits just across a small river from La Arroya Antigua. Trucks rumble through town from the surrounding hills, bringing ores and metal concentrates from nearby mines for processing. This is the commercial center of the town. At the local market, you can buy vegetables of all types and freshly butchered meat. On street corners, men grind sugar cane to make a sweet juice. Women sell popcorn made from the giant corn grown in Peru. The town is run down. Crumbling adobe houses dot the limestone-covered mountainside. The streets are paved with roughly hewn stone. However, on corners throughout the town, there are a few clean, brightly painted buildings, stark white with green trim. They all have the same label, Doe Run Peru. The company has invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to rebuild schools, provide bathrooms, and run soup kitchens. Doe Run officials like architect Maria Elena Nunez say it's part of a commitment to corporate responsibility.
They are very poor and their families are very needy. Doe Run decided to create this program, Social Ecology, to help them with the problem. It's not Doe Run's intention to replace the government, only participate.
In a kindergarten rebuilt by Doe Run, a miniature table in the corner holds a computer, something unheard of before Doe Run stepped in. Teacher Anna Edith Basillo Landeo says the students have new books, supplies, toys, and more.
For a time, this was a night school, but the condition of the school was deplorable. It was a real disaster. In 1996 was when they started to use it as a daytime school, but even under very bad conditions. The building was in terrible condition. We had no infrastructure. It was very rustic.
A few kilometers away from the plant, children mill about a fenced yard at the Daniel Alcides Carrion Elementary School. Across from the school, on a cement field, some boys are playing soccer. Inside a classroom, there are several terrariums filled with fake bugs. A label reads Insectos. Teacher Jesus Bautista Ibana worries about funding for the school, and overcrowding, and the older kids picking on the younger students. The pollution caused by Doe Run's operations on the north side of town are not her concern. When asked about Doe Run, she has little to say.
I cannot say that the company is hurting the community. Thanks to them, we can maintain our jobs. They contribute to education, to health, to the workers and their families.
Activists in La Arroya say the teacher's position is typical. The community sees the generosity of Doe Run's programs, but the effects of pollution, asymptomatic lead poisoning, for example, are more difficult to see. A study released by the Peruvian government this year found that 99% of children in La Arroya had levels of lead in the blood above the internationally accepted standard. Neurologist Dr. Hugo Villa says the levels are high enough to cause neurological and developmental defects, particularly in young children.
Este estudio arrojó más o menos los siguientes resultados, ¿no?
Blood was drawn from kids, 788 kids less than 6 years old. Five kids had levels of lead concentration that exceeded 70 micrograms per deciliter of blood. 84% of the children had values of the same parameter greater than 20 micrograms up to 46 micrograms per deciliter of blood. The kids that have 70 micrograms were evacuated to Lima and have been hospitalized.
Lead poisoning has been shown to slow development in children. Its effects are most devastating to young children whose brains are still growing rapidly. They are also the most at risk as they play in lead-contaminated dirt and seldom wash their hands. When Doe Run bought the smelter, it was on the condition that it could pollute above legal levels if it also completed a series of environmental cleanup projects by the end of 2006. The company has completed 8 of 9 required projects and has spent $53 million on environmental fixes and says it's working to control emissions. But the company still pumps out lead and sulfur dioxide well above legal limits, and it has applied for an extension until 2011 to complete the remaining projects. The government granted the extension, but an analyst with the Ministry of Energy and Mines, Alicia Polo y Laborda, acknowledges that Doe Run didn't keep its end of the bargain.
No están cumpliendo. They are not following the contract. They say that they have some problems with financial problems and they can't. And that's the problem. Like population can't stand anymore to all this. It's not fixing pollution at all.
Activists question whether the community has seen any public health benefit at all since Doe Run took over the plant. They worry that as Doe Run has increased production of lead, that toxic emissions of lead will also increase. A group of scientists from St. Louis University in Missouri have planned a trip to La Arroya to study the situation. Dr. Fernando Serrano says he's been there already and doesn't like what he's seen.
What I saw there was just very, I think, very shocking in terms of the extent of the environmental pollution in that city, and by looking at the data on, for instance, blood lead levels in children, I was appalled to see so high the extent of lead poisoning.
But Doe Run officials say the community supports the company. They point to a pro-company strike by smelter workers last December. The protesters blocked roads and closed the plant in order to force the government to allow Doe Run to extend its environmental cleanup agreement. Activists like Yolanda Zarita, who works with the local Catholic parish, say the community is afraid of what would happen if Doe Run left, and the community turns against activists like herself.
En la población lo que hemos visto es bastante temor.
In the population, what we've seen is significant fear, the fear of openly saying, look, the smoke is affecting us, or enough already with the contamination.
And the government doesn't want to lose the income from Doe Run. David Lippiatt with the U.S. State Department in Lima says the mining industry indirectly pays for many government services through taxes.
Companies have tax agreements, and in fact, mining companies, even though they're only 6% of GDP, pay at least a fourth of all taxes. So that's pretty good.
And Lippiatt says there's the added benefit of large companies adding money to the formal economy in a country where 60% of Peruvians work in the informal sector, off the books in menial jobs.
More formal jobs open up as larger companies that are in the formal system hire again. They expand, like they hire people, they are able to hire more people for full wage and plus benefits, etc. But however, the informal sector still keeps growing too.
If the government began to tax too heavily, or in the case of Doe Run, imposed crippling environmental regulations, mining analyst Paula Iloborda says the company could just leave.
If that happens, all the other employees are going to go on strike, and they are going to lose this job. And Doe Run says, okay, if that happens, I just go. And we have a social and political issue if that happens.
No one denies that the governments of countries like Peru need large multinational companies like Doe Run. They represent investments and a source of revenue and employment, but they also sometimes operate with less scrutiny than in the United States, and in the case of La Arroya, pose a public health risk. Activists and government officials agree La Arroya cannot survive without the smelter, that much is clear. But some worry that the community is paying too high a price for economic development. Adam Jalov, reporting.